Do you ever wish you were less blessed? What blessings do you have that you'd like to give up? Well, I don't know how you would answer that, because I don't know which ones I'd want to give up. So let me ask it a different way. Do you wish you had less responsibilities? Which responsibilities would you like to give up? Well, probably it's easier to think of responsibilities that we could live without. The problem is they're tied together. Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, the more we have, the more that will be required of us. The more we are blessed, the more responsibilities we have. When I walked in the building this morning, Paul and was there to greet us, and I said, I bet you're glad you're not going to be in an insurance office in the morning because insurance agents are going to be busy this week. And he just smiled. That's a responsibility he doesn't have to deal with now. He can move on maybe to deeper and more eternal responsibilities. But he doesn't have to worry about that. Those of us that might have our insurance with American Family now have to hold our breath and see if the company will survive Paul's retirement. But we're in our fourth day, and all is well so far. I asked Kevin to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because I want to make a few comments there, and then I want to turn to Galatians chapter 5. The verses that Kevin read for us in 1 Corinthians 10 are a reflection back to an Old Testament event, namely the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt and their subsequent months, weeks, days after that. The children of Israel spent several centuries in Egypt as captives, as slaves, you might say, and worked very hard. Was God pleased with them while they were in Egypt? Well, we're not given a whole lot of information on that, but they were still his people. And he seemingly was pleased enough with them that he wanted to bring them out of Egypt and back to Canaan. And that's what the entire Exodus is about. You're familiar with particularly the story that we find in Exodus that in the weeks or months prior to the Exodus, the plagues, the sending back of Moses and Aaron, the obstinance of Pharaoh, which ultimately led to the Exodus, the Red Sea parting, which I guess maybe was at least the physical safety. They were free. What a blessing that is to be free. We say many times how blessed and how fortunate we are to live in a free country. And while this country certainly has its warts and has its problems morally and spiritually, maybe economically, as they say, there's no place I'd rather be. But it notices me, and I find it interesting that after receiving their freedom, after centuries of not really having it, in verse 5, it says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. I don't recall that being said about them while they were captive in Egypt. There probably undoubtedly were times and individuals of which he was not well pleased. But here he says in the King James, but with many. Some translations will say, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. And I think that's an accurate statement. And then we go down through a progression, dare we say, a litany of things that are interesting to me. Verse 6, we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. One of the reasons God wasn't pleased with them, because when they got their freedom, they began to desire things they shouldn't have. Maybe things they couldn't have while they were in Egypt. In verse 7, they began to consider idolatry again. Verse 8, sexual sins causing thousands to be killed. They tempted Christ. They tempted God in verse 9. They began to murmur and grumble in verse 10. And then in verse 11, he says, all these things happen as an example for us. Now, what is the example? You and I are not going to come out of Egypt like they did. We're not going to cross the Red Sea. So what is the lesson that Paul is trying to give us there in the 10th chapter? Well, at least one of them is one I think I want to talk about. And that is the concept of how freedom can be a curse if we're not extremely careful. When I was about 12 years old, one of the men in the congregation that we were attending on a Sunday evening offered a prayer. And I remember it as if it were yesterday. He had one phrase that has stuck with me several decades. He said, "Lord, please don't bless us more than we can handle." Now, I was probably about 12, maybe 13 then. I was used to prayers, "Lord, thank you for your blessings," and "Lord, bless us." And there's nothing wrong with that as a prayer. So maybe that's why it stuck with me when he said, "Lord, don't bless us more than we can handle." And one of the blessings we have that really affects us, and it's a wonderful blessing, it's not one I want to give up, is freedom. Now with that in mind, I want to go to Galatians chapter 5 and look at verse 1. The book of Galatians is one of the first books that Paul wrote. In the first chapter of Galatians, we have that famous passage where Paul says, "I can't believe you people are so soon removed from what I just taught you. You've had the gospel. You've been saved. You have Christ. And I can't believe how you're messing it up." It reminds me a little bit of the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. "I can't believe how you're messing this up." In chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or freedom wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." There seems to be a warning in that verse, as I understand it, that's not that dissimilar to a warning that the children of Israel needed to heed when they came out of Egypt. Stand fast in your liberty. Don't let your liberty mess you up. Don't let it go to your head or let it be abused. You and I are set free from sin so that we can be free to serve. But being set free is a lot different than being turned loose. Therein is a confusion. I don't know what the children of Israel must have felt when they came out of Egypt, but there must have been a liberating freedom that they felt. And yet we see there that Paul, and we can go back to Exodus and read how it became quite a tragedy. And Paul says here in Galatians 5, "Stand fast, don't let the liberty." Now, you're probably good enough students of the book of Galatians to know that part of the problem they had, and he addresses that in the first four chapters, is they wanted to go back to the law. Now, we're always under law, because if we're not under law, then there's no sin, because sin is the breaking of the law. But they wanted to go back to something they were more comfortable with. Remind you of the children of Israel? Let's have the leeks and the onions. Let's go back. At least we had something to eat. So many parallels here that we see. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free." But liberty is only meaningful, and liberty only works when it has boundaries. Liberty is like music. If music doesn't have rules, then we don't have harmony. Someone who wants to compose a song that has any attractiveness to any of us has to abide by rules. Rules of harmony, sharps, flats, key signatures. And I can very quickly get in over my head discussing music. An artist has to have boundaries and constraints as he puts the colors together. Otherwise, he just throws it against the wall. Well, maybe you've seen so-called art that looked like it was thrown against the wall, but it's not art that I appreciate. Liberty requires boundaries. And here we're going to see a wonderful example of the Bible commenting on itself. Because in chapter 5, verse 1, he talks about liberty, but then as we drop down through this chapter, he talks about what liberty really is, or at least part of what it is. And I want to look at verse 13 in chapter 5. "Brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." I believe Paul here, after he exhorts them to liberty, gives them a insight into what this liberty should or shouldn't be. Sometimes we learn what something is by what it isn't. Sadly today, freedom is abused, but that's nothing new. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in every civilization. Countries that have the most freedom often have the highest crime rates, the highest substance abuse, the highest immorality, the lowest family structure, all abuses of freedom. Paul calls us to freedom and liberty, but he's going to set some boundaries on that that I think are absolutely essential for us to prosper as Christians. And in verse 13, the first boundary that I see him giving us is in the words, "Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Freedom is not given to us to indulge our flesh or our sinfulness. Paul in Romans chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Shall we sin that grace may abound?" No. Because when we do that, we are no longer really free. We're really then become slaves to whatever sin we find ourselves addicted to. Paul is saying freedom is not licentiousness. It's not antinomianism where there are no laws. It is not the dispensing or the dispersing, I should say, of self-control. It is not doing whatever you want to unless you take that phrase in its most mature term of we want to do the service of the Lord. Liberty is not a freedom to do just whatever we want, but that's often the way it is observed and sometimes the way it is lived. Lastly, in verse 13, he says, "But by love serve one another." And that's my second point. Liberty is not the freedom to injure other people. Rather, it is the freedom to serve other people. We are not free to disregard how our freedom might affect others. We're not free to place ourselves first. Rather, we are free to serve one another. If you look at verse 15, he says, "But if we bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." That is the antithesis of serving one another in our freedom. That is the consuming, the biting. It is not a freedom to do whatever I can do with disregard for others. It is a self-sacrificing love. Free to serve others. Not free to injure others. Now, I don't think most of us would be inclined to physically injure somebody else. Certainly not on purpose, but we can emotionally and spiritually and intellectually hurt each other or others with our tongues, with our actions, with our lack of compassion. The Bible talks in several places about how we need to be within the church, considerate one of another. Romans chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 talk about in Romans the keeping of days. Some do, some don't. Sometimes it's meat offered to idols. But the principle there is always putting somebody else, our brothers, our sisters, or other people first. I have never, to my knowledge, been in a home where somebody served me meat that was offered to idols. I just can't conceive of that. If it's happened, I didn't know it, but that's not something that in our culture or society right now we have to deal with. But there are other considerations where I think consideration takes a very practical aspect. Considerate of one another when it comes to eating in the church. Hardly a congregation I go to doesn't have somebody that would prefer not to eat in the church, and there may be some here, I don't know, but usually that's worked out with compassion, and they aren't forced to eat in the church, and they don't force it on others. We just came through a holiday period, some of which here probably observed in some form, and others probably maybe weren't comfortable observing it. That's fine. I have brothers and sisters in both arenas, and I respect both of them. I am opposed to the holiday period as a spiritual or a religious rendition, but if some want to do it as a family gathering, that's their choice. But these are areas that might be our counterpart, shall we say, to the eating of meat and idols and maybe keeping of some days. The point is, there are places where our liberty has to stop. It has to stop if it becomes something that serves the flesh, and it has to stop or have a boundary if it's something that injures another person. Now, when I say injure another person, that doesn't mean that we don't all need a rebuke at some time, but a loving rebuke is not to be injurious, it's to be beneficial, isn't it? And thirdly, I think we find here in the book of Galatians that Christian liberty is not freedom to ignore the law of God. Yes, we're not under the Mosaical law anymore, but we are still under the law. I don't know how many conversations I have had with people who will argue almost, well, and I won't say violently, but emotionally violently, that we're not under law. Well, we are under law because, as I said, if we don't have law, there is no sin. In this fifth chapter, when you drop down, he gives us the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit. That's a list of things we shouldn't and should do. And they're to be adopted in our liberty. But our liberty is controlled, I think Paul is telling us, by at least three things. It's controlled by the purity of our lives, God's calling us to holiness. It's called to a loving of one another, and it's called to obeying the Word of God. Now, interestingly, as I go down this fifth chapter, and we do just a little exegesis since we have just a few more minutes, there's another phrase I'd like to at least have you consider. In verse 25 of Galatians chapter 5, it says, "If we live in the Spirit, we shall also walk in the Spirit." What does it mean to live and walk in the Spirit? Well, you're good enough Bible students to know that we could be here for the rest of this year and still be discussing all of the things that probably includes. But I am again impressed by how Paul, I think, gives us some real examples of that. And to understand or to appreciate that or to keep it in context a little better, we have to remember that chapter breaks and verse breaks are relatively new things. We got chapter breaks in the Bible in the 1100 AD. We got verses, or the scripture organized into verses in the 1500s. Prior to that, this was just one long continuous letter. And I think you know that. We just need to remind ourselves of that. So the break between Galatians 5, 25 and 6 and Galatians 6 and 1 really is not there. And what I think Paul does is a masterful job of early part of chapter 6, giving us some wonderful lessons about what it means to walk and live in the Spirit. So let's look at them just briefly. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Again, we're serving one another, but this is the serving of a picking one another up or allowing ourselves to be picked up. You know, we have a tendency when we read these verses to think that we're the strong one and we need to help the weak. That is true, but sometimes we're the weak one and we need to let the stronger people help us. My personal opinion is we are all strong sometimes and we are all weak sometimes. But for some of us, maybe it's harder to allow people to help us than it is to even be willing to help others. I understand that. I feel that. But how do we do verse 1? How do we restore someone that stumbled? How do we have people there to restore us when we stumble? Well, first of all, we've got to know each other. We've got to spend time with each other. How else are you going to know when I need help? How else am I going to know when you need help if we don't spend time together, if we do not get to know each other? I spent about 4 hours with a fairly large, significant group of people yesterday morning. We were studying a particular topic, and during the breaks and afterwards, people would come up, we would visit. I learned a lot about a lot of other people that I didn't know, even though I had known a lot of them much of my life, and it's very helpful to get to know one another better. We do that as we fellowship here. And he says, you who are spiritual, you who are in the Spirit. And that's what verse 25 of chapter 5 is. If you live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, then in verse 1 of 6 he says, you are who are in the Spirit, you who live in the Spirit, you who walk in the Spirit, this is one of the things that you need to be doing. We can call this the pick them up verse. If somebody was walking down the aisle, and it has probably happened in this assembly, or you've been in assemblies where it's happened, and somebody stumbles and falls, I know what would happen. There would be a multiplicity of you who would go to that person and try to pick them up. That would be right. I remember I was in Meadville, Missouri, probably 10 or 15 years ago, and an old couple came in, and they were fairly teetery, and she was walking behind him, which was fine, but I noticed she had her finger in the belt loop of his pants. And I thought, well, he's leading her. And then I looked and I said, no. So I just asked her, I said, how come your finger's in your husband's belt loop? She said, I would rather hold him up than to have to pick him up. So I'm going to buy pants with belt loops. Because my day's coming. But isn't that a significant spiritual thing? I'd rather you hold me up than to have to pick me up. Now, if you have to pick me up, so be it. Too often we preach against sin, and yet maybe don't do what we need to about it. We're told here to, part of walking in the Spirit is to be there for one another. But he doesn't stop there, if you'll allow me to go on. In verse 2 of chapter 6, he says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bearing a burden here, it's an excruciating burden here in verse 2. In verse 5, every man must bear his own burdens. Those are not quite, they're two different Greek words without getting too technical. In verse 5, those are burdens that we should be accountable for and be able to handle on our own. But in verse 2, this is an overwhelming burden. And we need to be there for one another or let one another help each other. So in verse 1, we've got the concept of picking them up. But in verse 2, we've got the concept of holding them up. The word for burden there is baros, B-A-R-O-S. An excessive, unbearable load. And that's part of walking in the Spirit, is being there, one for another. You know, sin likes to have us when we are alone. Doesn't like to have us when we're together. When you and I are really tempted and when we are most vulnerable is not this morning. Oh, yes, we could sin this morning. When we are most vulnerable is when we're not together. Because we don't have this essence of support. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about, it's one of those times when he lets his hair down. He only does it two or three times, but he says in about verse 8 or 9, he said, I just was so distraught almost to wanting to end my life. Now, I don't think Paul was suicidal, but he almost says that. But in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, he says to them, I am so glad you sent Titus to encourage me. Now, what I find interesting when you study that is in chapter 7, Titus had become discouraged and the Corinthian brethren had encouraged Titus, who then, Paul says, came and encouraged Paul. And then Paul was able to go on and encourage the Corinthians. What do we have? We have a wonderful circle, not a vicious circle. We have a wonderful circle of the Corinthians encouraging Titus, who encouraged Paul, who now encourages the Corinthians, who now can encourage somebody else, who can now encourage somebody else. And isn't that a wonderful example of how the family of God is to work? And I believe that's a wonderful example of living and walking in the Spirit. One final point on that is in verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth all good things. This is the building of them up. If you have something, remember the early church would come together. If you had a psalm or a hymn, something to share, you shared it. Probably more mutual than even we do it. And we do more mutual than most religious organizations. And I think that's obviously good. So in chapter 6, Paul gives us, I think, three wonderful bullets, if you will, about walking and living in the Spirit. Let's pick one another up, let us hold one another up, and let us build one another up. All under the auspices of liberty. Now, how would the children of Israel have fared had they picked one another up rather than all going after the golden calf or the grumbling that we find listed in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians? Well, I can't rewrite history, and I don't know that I necessarily know. But I think human nature would tell us that had they done that, that their journey might have been much shorter. You realize it only takes about 3 weeks to get from Egypt to Canaan, even walking. And you know how long it took them. It took them because they didn't take God seriously and they took their eyes off the target. They began looking at themselves. Freedom came and it became a time to look to themselves. We're hungry. We need this. We're thirsty. Occasion to the flesh in a physical sense rather than in a spiritual sense. One of the wonderful things about being in the church is the wonderful fellowship that we have. I hope you'll take this closing illustration in a positive spirit, and it's just so graphic about fellowship. Many of you love to hold babies, and if you're a woman, you're probably near the top of the list. Men don't get the frequent charge out of holding a baby. But occasionally I kind of like to hold a baby. I might not want you to know I like it for whatever convoluted reason. But sometimes I'll be holding a little baby and they will do something that makes me no longer want to hold them. You ever been there? They will soil their garments. One of two ways. I no longer enjoy holding that baby. That baby and I have broken fellowship. So what do? I look for their mom. If I can't find their mom, I look for grandma. If I can't find grandma, I look for something in a skirt and say, here. Because I'm done. What does that have to do with the gospel invitation? When we soil our garments, we break fellowship with God. But God has a wonderful handy wipe. And when we come to Him, He can cleanse us. He can clean us up, just like that little baby. That baby doesn't want me to hold him anymore because I'm not going to clean him up. That baby wants cleaned up. When we soil our garments, fellowship can be broken. That's why it is so important for us to have a submissive, repentant heart. Because we all do. And please don't take this to be an obtuse illustration. It's just so many lessons from nature. We can clean ourselves up with God's help. We go to Him and say, God, clean me up. And then fellowship is restored. Well, part of what Paul's telling us in Galatians chapter 6 is maybe sometimes we have to help each other clean ourselves up. That's not always pleasant, but it is oh so needful. I hope I love you enough, and I hope you love me enough that when we get dirty, we're there to help each other. Because I believe that's walking in the Spirit. I believe that's live life in the Spirit. I believe that's the liberty that sets us free. You know, growing up in a physical sense is a curious thing because we just can't wait to get out on our own. So we'll be free and we can do whatever we want, only to discover you never get there, do you? You've always got responsibilities. Some of you ladies, when you were teenagers, might have spent 3 hours getting ready before a certain young man came and picked you up for a date, or the boy may spend a little time getting ready. Now you're out on your own, you have kids, and you don't hardly even get to comb your hair before the end of the day. But you're free. But you're free to serve, aren't you? And that's exactly what I think the scriptures are teaching us. Freedom is usually abused. The children of Israel abused it. Every nation has abused it. Probably every person has abused it. But it is a wonderful opportunity to be free to serve the Lord and to serve one another. But use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but to serve one another. Galatians 5:13. We close our lesson this morning and we're going to extend the gospel invitation. There is no place I would rather be than in God's family. And we long for that day when we can do it eternally. And there's no reason why we can't unless we choose not to. If we can help anybody in any way this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and Denny leads us in our final song.